Kia ora and welcome back to the show. And well, to talk about yesterday's big political news and perhaps speculate on what's next to come, I've got our political expert, Raf Manji, on the line. Good morning, Raf.
Yes, good morning, Liam. Yes, what a day.
Yes, an interesting day ahead, I can imagine. I'd be interested to know, in your kind of circles, has there been a lot of speculation already about who might be next leader?
Yes, I mean, there had been speculation previously, as in, you know, who would take over from her at some point. And I think as much as it's a shock, I don't think people will be that surprised. I think, you know, the thought of her doing another 4 years, you know, was always going to be a bit of a struggle, even though she'd said that she was going to go into the next election. I think, you know, when people sit down and have a bit of time to think about it, these things are probably tougher than they look. So there had been speculation. I mean, obviously, Chris Hipkins is seen as pretty competent, but obviously Grant Robertson deciding that he's not going to go for the leadership is, again, it's not a surprise, but he would have been obviously a shoo-in, very much like Bill English was when John Key stood down. But also, he's been in Parliament a long time, and he's part of the, obviously, the Jacinda-Grant combination, so that could be seen as a bit of a negative, potentially, if they want some kind of fresh faces. And I think that's really going to be the challenge for them. Will they go for safety, which is probably Chris Hipkins leading with a deputy, I don't know, Michael Wood, maybe Kerry Allen, or do they go for something new, which would be Michael Wood or Kerry Allen as leader, and one of them being the deputies? And you have to think also about the city dynamic in New Zealand. Michael Wood's based in Auckland, Chris Hipkins is Wellington. So that plays into it as well. So, yeah, I would think probably the most radical suggestion would be Kerry Allen taking over. She's long been thought of as a potential future leader. And Michael Wood probably as deputy, as somebody who's seen as probably more kind of solid traditional Labour values, which then, you know, may be some demand for, given that, you know, frankly, the government hasn't really focused on those issues as much as would quite like. So it's a tricky moment for them, because it could be seen as a bit of a hospital pass. You know, on the other end, it does take away a lot of that kind of antagonism that, you know, we've been talking about for some time over the COVID response. So I think it will be a tricky decision for them. And I mean, I've no idea what they'll be thinking, but I think those are the issues. Do you want someone who's been involved with the COVID response? And obviously Hipkins has, or would you want to go for some fresh faces and take a chance that, you know, the public might warm to them over the next 9 months?
Yeah, it's interesting to think, because I mean, I had a few discussions about this yesterday, obviously, and it still felt, despite everything, Jacinda as leader of the party was still kind of one of Labour's big selling points, I guess, despite everything. So do you reckon it would be a risk for them to kind of attempt to rebrand, or the right thing to do?
Well, I mean, they've got no choice now in terms of Jacinda moving on. And yes, I mean, I still think she had a lot of cachet. She was a big part of that brand. But, you know, obviously the brand had been damaged as well.
And
we've seen, you know, it's always hard to know the numbers, but I mean, the polling tells us, you know, that the party's lost, you know, 20% of its vote from the 2020 election. And that could go even worse. As people look at other options, hopefully. So I think, you know, sure, she was expected to campaign really well, and she's a brilliant campaigner. She is empathetic, and she tells a great story. But I think the problem is that, you know, she had lost her mojo, I think, and she had struggled to... I think really it was the Auckland lockdown when things started to go a bit wrong.
But
in 2022... I think all the focus on the centralization programs kind of just took away any sense of the big picture stuff like climate change, like child poverty, like housing. All those things seem to go awry, and all people could focus on was the centralization, the three waters, the polytechnic, the public media, the health system. And I think it was difficult for her to tell a good story around that.
Yeah, right, and right.
So, yeah, from a practical perspective, I mean, if I was the Labour Party, which clearly I'm not, I would probably... I think Michael Wood would have to be in the mix, either as leader or deputy leader. But if they want a little bit of pizzazz, maybe take a risk with Kiri Allen. If they want safety, Chris Hipkins is the logical choice. He knows what he's doing. He's a very competent minister. He's quite practical. He's likable. And he obviously understands Wellington. So Hipkins Wood could be an option as well, or Hipkins Allen. Yeah, so I think those are probably the three main front runners, and it's I can't see anyone else appearing, but you know, you never know.
Is it do you think for any MPs in Labour right now it's a particularly desirable position?
Well, no, I think a lot of them will be gutted.
Yeah, right.
You know, you're losing your leader who's taking you through, you know, five pretty incredible years. And, you know, she's had a lot to deal with, obviously, 15th of March, which obviously for me was a big issue. And she handled that incredibly and projected herself, obviously, and New Zealand onto the world stage. And that was a pretty traumatic event. And then obviously there was Fakari, White Island, which was also another tragedy. And then obviously COVID. But I would also say to people, because a lot of people do say, oh, you know, she has to handle these you know, terrible events. Well, that's unfortunately the life of the Prime Minister. Stuff happens.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
If you think back to John Key, he came in after the global financial crisis, literally, and then we had the earthquake.
Yeah.
And we had Pike River. So I think it's, you know, it's just the life of a Prime Minister. It's the things that are going to happen while you're in office. And I think, you know, when I think about her handling of 15th of March, which was, you know, extremely impressive. You know, John also handled the earthquakes extremely well, and Pike River. And so I think we've been lucky. We've had, you know, some good prime ministers. I think certainly the ones I've known have all been pretty good. So you want to select somebody you think might be able to cope with challenging events, really.
Yeah.
Because the rest of it runs itself. That's the art of leadership, and I think she clearly was a great leader. John Key was a great leader. Helen Clark was a great leader. And I guess from a country perspective, we just hope, they select somebody who has that potential in them.
With the exception of any policies that might leave with the current Prime Minister, do you think this dramatically changes the next election?
Yeah, you know, it's hard to say. I mean, clearly National will be thinking, oh my gosh, you know, what's the old line? Chris Luxon will be measuring the drapes or whatever. Look, I mean, I think it certainly firms up Christopher Luxon as probably the next Prime Minister.
Mm.
But you never know. I mean, things, you know, I don't think we can underestimate the negative sentiment towards Jacinda and the government over COVID. And now the knock-on effects of, you know, the inflation, the cost of living issue, which, to be honest, is primarily the responsibility of the Reserve Bank and the Ministry of Finance. But she's, you know, she has to kind of wear that. I mean, it's not something she would have been that heavily involved in. And I think that's also another reason why Grant probably doesn't feel it's the right thing for him to do, because he, you know, he obviously would be front and square in that conversation. So who knows? You just don't know. That the initial reaction would, I think, be very strong for National. But as things settle down and a new leader comes in, if they have new things to say, who knows? But I think, yeah, I mean, it looks pretty odds on that National will be leading the government next time. But MMP, as we know, is a strange beast.
Yeah.
Anything could happen.
Well, Raf, thank you so much for joining me this morning twice in 1 week. What an honour. quite frankly.
Well, yeah. I mean, could we? Yeah, we had. We'll aim for a week of a triple.
Yeah.
But, who knows? Maybe next week when we get the announcement on Sunday as to who the leader might be, and we may not. I mean, if they can't agree on a leader on Sunday, then it goes to the membership. So, you know, let's not forget that is still an outside possibility, and we just don't know what's going to happen with that. So it's by no means a formality that there will be a leader and deputy leader announced on Sunday, but I would imagine Labour will hope that is the case.
Yeah, that is a very good point. Do you think they'll be really focused on putting a united front forward in that vote?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I don't think they want this to go to the membership at all.
So,
I mean, you know, yeah, I think they will be pretty practical. And I mean, you could argue who wants to be a leader now with essentially a very difficult budget coming up and you're in an election and you're in a very weak position in the polls. Who'd want to take that on? So I would imagine there'll be anyone who had thought about being the leader, and this is the thing about Kerry Allen, is, you know, does she go for this now, or does she actually just bide her time and think ahead to the future? So, yeah, all these things. This is politics. You never quite know what's going to happen from one day to the next.
Yeah, it's always exciting, isn't it? Anyway, thank you so much, Raph. Have a wonderful day.
I'll talk soon. See you.